What can we see? Our eyes are so important to us. Not only do they give us the incredible gift of sight, but they give us so much more. God has designed these complex organs with over 2 million working parts, and the muscles of our eyes are the most active muscles in our entire body. Through them, we gain up to 80% of all information we perceive. And even if our taste or smell stop working, our eyes can protect us from danger. They have the capacity to organize about 36,000 bits of information an hour. And next to our brain, they are the most powerful part of our body. Through them, we can see 7 million colors. And can you imagine? The retina can detect 400 different shades of gray alone, making our eyes able to perceive more detail than even a digital camera. Our eyes are unique to us. Whereas our fingerprint contains 40 unique traits, our eyes have 256 unique qualities, five times as many. That's why retinal scans are more important in security identification than fingerprints. Even our eye color and the patterns of our iris are uniquely specific to each of us. Further, our eyes reflect our emotional state, revealing if we're angry, happy, sad, or afraid. They can also help doctors diagnose high cholesterol, high blood pressure, liver disease, and diabetes. No wonder then that Jesus says your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. But Jesus wasn't just referencing our ability to see, but also what our eyes were revealing about our character and the intentions of our heart. This is indicated as early as the Garden of Eden when the serpent convinces Eve to eat the forbidden fruit, saying, God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The eyes truly are the window of our soul and reveal our emotions and innermost thoughts. For instance, Leah, the unhappy wife of Jacob, is described as the sister with no sparkle in her eyes. Although this is often identified as weak eyesight, I wonder if it may also reference her weak relationship with the Lord, for on many occasions, I've been saddened to see the darkness overtake the eyes of a Christian whose eyes had once sparkled with the light of the Lord and were now darkened by sin. But the wicked think God isn't watching us. He has closed his eyes and won't even see what we do, King David writes in his psalm. And to the unbeliever, the psalmist contends, think again, you fools. When will you finally catch on? Is he deaf, the one who made you or your ears? Is he blind, the one who formed your eyes? Indeed, God sees everything, and his eyes search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And he knows who they are. As such, he rescues the humble, but his eyes watch the proud to humiliate them. And King David writes on the day he's rescued from Saul, for we are told that God guards us as he would guard his own eyes. Many have prayed that God would open his eyes to their requests, that he may see their difficulties and respond. Yet in many situations, it's God who opens our eyes to see what he's provided, as in the case of Hagar, when he miraculously provided a well full of water for her and Ishmael. God also opened Balaam's eyes to see the angel standing in the roadway with a drawn sword in his hand, ready to cut him down for his disobedience. Thereafter, Balaam titled himself as the man whose eyes see clearly. Elisha also prayed that the Lord would open the eyes of his servant and the soldiers so they could see the miraculous deliverance God had arranged. We are, in fact, to be on the alert for God's miracles, as Moses tells the children of Israel, and they are to praise him, the one who has done these mighty miracles that they have seen with their own eyes. But Moses is disappointed that, despite all that they have seen with their own eyes, they still do not understand or appreciate God and his wonders. This is something Moses himself realizes when he's not allowed to see with his own eyes the promised land because of his disobedience at the waters of Meribah. Although Moses' eyesight remains faultless till his death at 120 years of age due to his years of faithful and sacrificial service to the Lord, the judge Samson lost his eyesight because of his defiance to his role as a Nazarite. Whereas this was a physical consequence for his rebellion, the Israelites were deliberately blind to the Lord's kindness after Joshua's death, as they did whatever was right in their own eyes. God warns against the haughty or proud eyes, or the fool's eyes that wander around to see what mischief they can devise. He cautions against those who see themselves as pure or right in their own eyes. He also warns against the lazy person, those who want to close their eyes in slumber, for they will never have enough to eat or will miss what God is doing. Yet God can restore the sparkle in our eyes, but we must guard our eyes and make, as Job made a covenant with our eyes, not to look with lust at one another. Jesus says it this way: if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better to enter eternal life with only one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. Of course, he's not telling us to destroy our eyesight, but rather to turn our eyes away from worthless things. Rather, our eyes are always to be on the Lord, who rescues us from the traps of the enemy. We are to keep looking to the Lord our God for his mercy, just as his servants keep their eyes on their master as a slave girl watches her mistress for the slightest signal. Similarly, we are to keep our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith, and ask him to open our eyes to see the wonderful truths of his instructions so we can see our King when he's coming. Further, we are to open our eyes to the needs of others and act as Job did, serving as eyes for the blind and feet for the lame. Jesus commends those whose eyes are open to him, to see him for who he really is, and those whose ears can fully comprehend what he's saying and recognize the needs of those around them. But he's deeply grieved by those who cannot or will not recognize him as Messiah or help him serve others. But those walking on the road to Emmaus recognized him as the resurrected Lord. Paul, too, originally blinded by the brilliant light of heaven, had something like scales fall from his eyes when he regained his sight after he acknowledged Jesus as Lord and Savior. We, too, need to pray, remove those scales from my eyes, Lord Jesus, that I may see you and understand you more clearly. Later, when Paul would preach to the Gentiles in the hope that their eyes would be opened and they would turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God to receive forgiveness for their sins, yet he lamented that his own people, the Jews, would have closed eyes that couldn't see until at last they were restored. And to all of us, he calls and offers ointment for our eyes so we'll be able to see him as he truly is, promising a forever place where he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Today, beloved, what are you fixing your eyes on right now? Look to him who helps us see the eternity he fixes in our hearts. God bless you, beloved. God bless you.